Okay, well, if you are a visitor, hopefully you can pick up a little bit of what we're going to be talking about today. We've been looking over the last few years about how we engage God in a more intimate way. And in that engagement, we've been looking at engaging God in the spiritual realms as well as just the realms here around us, but also the realms of heaven. And on that pathway, there's two main ways we go: relationship, intimacy, engaging God in our own spirit, in our own heart, and then in his garden in heaven, and also responsibility, where we begin to operate as sons in heaven in a judicial way. And it's like that journey is at a map. Now, I love Lord of the Rings, and there's a map there of Middle Earth. And on that map in the film, you see these little footprints that sort of follow the pathway of the Fellowship of the Ring and others went. And yeah, we have our own map. You know, over the last number of years, we've been on a journey, and that journey has been taking us to a point today, actually, where we're going to cross over. So in a sense, when we're looking at this, there are significant milestones, significant places and times on our journey, special places of interest, things that we've engaged with, some battlegrounds, which are marked when we've won victories. And today is a significant milestone in which we're going to look to cross over. Not that many of us haven't done this, but together, corporately, in the way God has called us to do this, because we want to prophetically outwork something which he's calling us to do. So God's judgment, and judgment is not punishment. You really need to understand that. It's a judge weighing the evidence and providing a verdict. Has been passed on the old order, that wilderness order, operating under the mediatorial coverings of the Moses generation, is ended. And we're not covered by anyone other than God. There's an open heaven. We can all access God for ourselves in that way. And we've been brought to this point of crossing. Whether you see it an analogy of the Jordan or whether you see it as an analogy of the veil, but we're crossing over into our heavenly positions of authority. And everyone's got a choice. Yeah, you can remain in the familiarity of the old, or you can embrace your inheritance and destiny in the new. Everyone's got a choice, and we respect that choice, but we are giving a choice, and God gives us choices all the time. Every day, he gives us choices, and he wants us, of course, to choose his way. So to leave the Moses generation, what are you leaving? You're leaving the old to embrace the Joshua generation. And that Joshua generation God has been calling to rise up, to take possession of the land. And that land is our spiritual inheritance, both physical and in a heavenly perspective. And to take our responsibility and the positions of maturity as sons, because you're a son, whether you're a baby or whether you're sitting on a throne. You're still a son, but what you do with that sonship will be very different depending on the level of maturity that you're operating in. And we're called to be co-heirs of God's kingdom with Jesus and God, and therefore we need to take maturity as sons of God and operate in that responsibility. Joshua and Caleb, who were those that were spied, they spied out the land, they went across, sealed the promised land, saw that it was good, they gave a good report. The other 10 didn't. They gave a bad report because they saw the land with all the giants in there and all the cities and everything in there as something that was too difficult. And yet, Joshua and Caleb saw the same land, saw it flowing with milk and honey and amazing fruit and all blessings, and their attitude was totally different to it. They weren't making decisions based on the circumstances but on God's promises. And they knew that God promised to give them the land. So they led the next generation to receive their inheritance. The old generation died in the wilderness because they refused to go in, and the new generation accepted that and crossed over. And Joshua and Caleb, even though they were 80-odd years old, with God, age doesn't matter anything, led the next generation in. And that generation were any age in reality, because there were people who weren't, who were old, ladies particularly. Nothing to do with ladies being old, sorry. But, of course, only the men who refused to go in died in the wilderness. A lot of the ladies were well into their advanced years and still crossed over and still took their inheritance. So that could be naught till whatever. The next generation is not a young people generation, it's a united generation. All those who are yet to come into the kingdom will be of every age. So God is wanting us and others to be prepared. Some of you here may well be part of that next generation. Therefore, you're going to take your supernatural heavenly position and be equipped as a harvester. Bob Jones, who was a prophet in 1975, prophesied a billion-fold harvest, and that was a marking point, and that 40-year period of preparation ended, and people didn't prepare. And he appeared here 3 days, I think, after he died, as one of the cloud of witnesses, and he appeared right actually where I'm sitting. And he offered a fiery scroll. And that fiery scroll was for the responsibility to be part of that reaching a billionfold harvest. And then Jesus came the following week and actually stood here with another fiery scroll. And that was for the Joshua generation. Now, we took those scrolls. We agreed those scrolls together that we would be willing to take our part in taking responsibility for those two things. And that's why we're on this journey. So we're all called to be part of that Joshua generation who will begin to mentor and disciple the coming harvest. Now, I was talking to Nigel this week about this word, or these four things: show, equip, nurture, train. And that says sent, which is a very apt thing. You can also look at that in different ways. Sent, nest. Now, there is a view of being a nest, but sometimes you have to get the chicks out of the nest and they've got to fly. Now, when an eagle does that, doesn't seem to be very good about it. It just boots it out of the nest. And it's got to fly or plummet. Now, eagles fly because the mother wouldn't push them out of the nest until they're ready. But we can stay in a nest or we can fly. And actually, it also means nets if you change the letters around. And actually, we're looking to see a net reach a harvest and also spells tens. And you need 10 to form an ecclesia. So quite an interesting word. So show, equip, nurture, and train. And that's what we want to do for the next generation. So we're developing a storehouse, a city of refuge to be ready for that harvest to come. An embassy of heaven established and expanding God's kingdom rule on earth as it is in heaven. And what we found is you have to establish things in heaven before they can be worked on earth. Otherwise you end up doing things in your own strength. So every one of us has the opportunity today to choose abundant life, the fullness of what God has for us on heaven, in heaven and on earth, to cross over. That's a choice. Joshua gave people a choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. So we've made a decision here that this house is going to serve the Lord and cross over into the fullness of what we're called to do. And we would love as many people as possible to join us. So to be part of the Joshua generation, that's the choice. Ready to be bold and courageous, because that's what Joshua was told to be. So you sort of have this sort of view as he might not have been quite as bold and courageous as he thought. So he was told to be bold and courageous because they had to go and take the land. They were giant slayers. They had to take possession. You don't need to fully understand everything. So just let your spirit decide. Don't try and figure everything out in your head. Let your spirit decide. We sing a little line sometimes. It says, let go of your heart, let go of your head. You know, sometimes we just try and figure it all out. Let your spirit lead. Because the spirit will always lead you into your full inheritance. Because that is the Holy Spirit's role. And being joined with the Holy Spirit and one spirit with him in our spirit wants to lead us into the fullness of who we are. That's our eternal destiny and inheritance. So what is actually the choice? Well, it's to choose to take up your inheritance beyond the veil in the heavenly realms, because we're all operating here already. This is a step to follow Jesus, who's gone as a forerunner, according to the order of Melchizedek, into the realms of heaven and is calling us to follow. To choose to take responsibility for establishing heavenly government as a Lord, a King, and a Son. Or you can remain earthbound and wildernessbound and fail to fulfill your eternal inheritance, because you can't fulfill your inheritance unless you engage fully in the realms of heaven. But there are consequences for the wrong choice. And this is how Jesus describes this consequence. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, Now, the kingdom of heaven is different from the kingdom of God. It's a realm of heaven, a realm of kingship in the realms of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you who do things your own way rather than God's heavenly way. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that he didn't know those people or those people didn't know him in one way. He was saying he doesn't recognize them in their position of eternal inheritance, because that's what he's looking at. He's looking at the scroll that he wrote about your life in eternity, and he wants your life to match up to that scroll. And if it doesn't, because you've not been willing to take your place of authority, then he will say, stay in the outer court. If you want to stay in the realm of the kingdom of God in the outer court, it's your choice, but you can go further into the realm of the kingdom of heaven, into the realm of heaven, into the heaven of heavens, and beyond that, right into eternity. So there are consequences, and I'd encourage you to be aware of that. So we've been looking over the last few weeks at the judicial or legislative aspects of God's kingdom, because that's what our role is about. Throne rooms, courtrooms, assemblies, councils of God in the heavenly realms. Where the kingdom is administered in heaven, so it can be manifested on the earth. You know, many years ago, we used to think God did all that. And he did when we were infants and children. But now he's calling us to take responsibility and come into our position of authority in the realms of heaven. So that means to engage the Holy of Holies, to engage the order of Melchizedek, the Ark of God's presence. Let me go back one. Hebrews 10:19. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. That's the invitation that all of us have been given. Jesus has gone before to prepare the way so that we can go through the veil. You don't have to die to do that physically. You do need to die to self, but not physically. That's the lie that the enemy has perpetrated over many generations. The only way you can gauge heaven is if you die. There's a film that was put out recently, and it was a book called Heaven is Real. And there's this little boy who goes into hospital, but he ends up engaging heaven. And that book and film is a little bit cheesy, but it's a representation of what happened to him. And what it was revealing is you don't have to die or have a near-death experience for God to take you into heaven. And he saw some things in heaven that could not have been seen anywhere else, like cloud of witnesses, like Jesus. And the picture of Jesus that he saw was exactly the same picture I saw, the picture of the Archione, the girl who went into heaven painted. So God has opened up this way for us to come. So if we're going to come, we can step in. When we go, we can engage the Holy of Holies, the Ark of God's presence, where our destiny scrolls, mandates are discovered and received. That's where the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey of God's government is. That's why we sing Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and we step into that when we engage in worship very often. Because we're saying heaven is open, we can come and engage God's presence. We don't have to say, God, will you come down here? Most traditional worship services are, God, will you please come? And God always comes where we're gathered. Two or three in his name, he'll always be there. He will always inhabit our praises. But he wants us to see there's an open heaven that we can come. And we can come around his presence there and actually engage him. And that Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and the Yod, Hey, Shin, Vav, Hey, when we're in the middle of God's name, is something we can all step into. And that's where we engage the lion, ox, eagle, man, which is why we have the flags and the different symbols of that which represent the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and the order of Melchizedek government, king, prophet, apostle, priest. So all of us can have a heavenly position to operate in according to God's name. You have his power of attorney because you're in his name. In his name is not just a thing you tag on to the end of a prayer as a lucky charm, which is what most people do. It's actually the reality we can step into him because we're in Christ Jesus. We're in him and he's in us. So that means we can engage heaven and experience the fullness of our inheritance. Zechariah 3:7 describes this process. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways And if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. That invitation's for all of us. That's what we can do when we step into the realms of heaven. We can experience the fact that we're called to bring government and to have charge of his judicial system of heaven. When God does this, it's not just instant. There's a journey. You have to learn to walk in his ways. And that's what we've been doing over many years, learning to walk in his ways, the ways of love, grace, mercy here on earth. But it goes beyond that. We can then start to perform his service in the realms of heaven and operate in these different courts. So we've looked at these courts. Mostly we've been looking at the mobile court, where we can deal with accusations. But there are many other courts in the realms of heaven operating in different levels of government that we can have access to. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race and a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a people for God's possession. Revelation 5:10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. How can you reign on the earth? Because you're reigning in heaven. That's where the king royal priesthood is, a heavenly royal priesthood. So we're all royal priests, every one of us. You know, we're not servants, sort of serving the king. We're supposed to be co-heirs operating with the king. Now, we do that with a servant attitude and heart, of course. It's not that we're being bolshy about it, but the reality is we've been called to come into that position of government. Sons of the king are part of God's royal family. Every one of us are part of a royal family if we've come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Now, there's a picture of the queen. Very flattering picture, because she didn't quite look quite like that now. But you can see that in her enthronement, she was carrying certain things and she was dressed in a certain way. She's got things like a crown and a scepter and an orb and a mantle, a robe and royal attire and a throne she's sitting on. And that is a representation of the things that God is calling into. There's many symbols of government. These symbols represent different aspects of authority, and in that process, we're given some of these things as we mature in that authority. On earth is supposed to reflect heaven. So there are things in earthly ceremonial things that represent heaven. That's why we get these things given, because they're in heaven. You know, they weren't made up on the earth and then we thought about them being in heaven. It's the other way around. There are heavenly thrones, heavenly scepters, heavenly crowns, heavenly weapons and all sorts of things that we're given. Now, many years ago, God just impressed on my heart four words: investiture, succession, enthronement, and coronation. That process takes place before we can fully function in heaven. We need to be invested with authority. There needs to be a succession. We need to be enthroned, and ultimately there'll be a coronation. At salvation, we're invested with the right of sonship. 1 John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The right. Think about that. You have the right to be a son of God, and therefore a royal priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, for that to take place, the old monarch has to die or abdicate. Now, our monarch's been going a long time. Yeah, and she doesn't look like she's going to abdicate, so poor old Charles is having to wait. But he's been invested, ready to succeed. That happened in Carnarvon Castle when he became Prince of Wales. Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. If we want to enter into the fullness of heaven, we've got to die to self. We can't do it our way, it's got to be God's way. Galatians 2:20 is a really key scripture to understand. I have been crucified with Christ. This is something that happened. He died as my representative. He died as me. I need to enter that. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I thought I didn't live a life. Yeah, but now I live with him. I live in this body now with him who also lives in me by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we're all called to do this. Romans 12:1 is the process. And we've done many, many scriptures and teachings on this process of transformation. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to the world. We can't do this being worldly. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to believe who we are. We have to have our minds renewed to see who we are and then follow it. Then we'll be able to prove what God's will is, his good, perfect, acceptable will, our destiny, that which is an agreed already for us. Now, I've got lots of testimonies, and many of you have got testimonies of this process. So many heavenly encounters where there are these different symbols have been given. Rings, robes, crowns, mantles, scepters, thrones, orbs, seals, staffs, swords, bows, spears, all sorts of things over the years I've engaged in the realms of heaven. And I want to show what some of those things mean. I was given a ring, and this had this wonderful blue stone in it. Now, I didn't really understand the significance of blue stones and sapphires and things, where they came from then, but now I know they come out of the sapphire throne and pavement. And all of us as sons are given rings of sonship, and they can be used as seals in the realms of heaven. Luke 15:22, the father said to his slaves, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Now, from our perspective, who are the servants of God? Angels. So angels will bring out the best robe, and they'll give you a new robe, and they'll give you a new ring, and they'll give you new equipment. And we're going to do that today. And angels want to come and engage with you today with a new mantle. The prodigal son was given a ring and new robes as he has his inheritance restored. And this is what God is looking to do, to restore your inheritance. It's a heavenly inheritance. You came out of heaven. It's your heavenly position. You were created in that realm in eternity in God's heart. So we're invested with royal robes as a sign of authority. Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My son will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with robes of righteousness. All of us have those robes. The question is whether we wear them. Zechariah 3:4. Remove the filthy garments from him. See, I have taken away your iniquity, and you will clothe you with festal robes. That's what happened with the prodigal. There was a party, a celebration of him coming back home to the Father. And God wants us to come back home to him, to come back into the realm of his presence. 2 Kings 2:11. And they were going along talking, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, which separated the two of them. This is Elisha and Elijah. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. So the mantle of Elijah fell out of the realms of heaven and came to earth, and he picked it up and he began to wear it. And he was given a double portion of Elijah's anointing, the equipping of power and authority of that mantle. And he was called to be a prophet. It was the mantle of a prophet, and he did many miracles. And Elisha did double the miracles, minus one, while he was alive. And when he died, they threw a body on his bones, and that body came back to life. So after he died, he fulfilled the prophecy of having a double portion of complete all the miracles. So God wants us to take up a new mantle. Because Jesus went up into heaven, didn't he? Acts 1:9 talks about he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him. It wasn't a cloud as in a fluffy white thing full of water and moisture. It was the cloud witnesses. That was what was waiting. And the angelic realm was waiting for him to come. And two men in white clothing stood beside them. I wonder who they were, because they were men in white linen. I got a feeling one of them could have been Elijah and one of them could have been Moses, because they stood next to Jesus. But maybe I'll go back and look sometime. But actually, this is symbolic of Jesus did the same as Elijah. Elijah set the precedent. When he was taken up into heaven, he left his mantle, and Elisha picked it up. Jesus was taken up, he left his mantle for us to pick up and receive the authority to do the greater works of God's kingdom. Will we pick up that mantle? James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. There are crowns given to us. A number of crowns are mentioned in the Bible, including the incorruptible crown, crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of joy, and the crown of glory. Those crowns are given to us, signifying positions of authority. Hebrews 1:8. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. So there is a scepter and a throne associated with a position in heaven. Ephesians 2:6, he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's a place waiting for us to come and occupy, and with it we get a scepter to rule, and a crown, and a mantle. Exodus 15:17, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling. God dwells on the mountain, and on his mountain there's a throne, many thrones in fact. And he wants to plant us on those mountains. Psalm 2:6, for as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Jesus is installed there, and he has given us what? His authority, because all authority in heaven and earth now belongs to him. And he wants to install us on those mountains in the realms of heaven. So Hebrews 12:22, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We can come. Don't have to die. You can come now and engage in everything it says there. In the old covenant, only Moses went. That's why the old of mediators going to heaven or going to God and then telling us what God says is ended. God invites us all to come because we're all sons in that position. So as I've engaged God over the last few years, I've got a crown and a mantle and a scepter and different positions of authority in the realms of heaven. I discovered the seven mountain spheres of authority that I had and we had as a church. I was given an orb and taken to a higher throne at one stage and then started to show the protocols of the heavenly courts to make legislation. And those legislation and what we've learned, we've made some laws, and we'll look at those in a minute. So we need to know our identity as kings and priests. If you don't know your identity, then you won't take your position. Don't be robbed by the lies of the enemy that says you're nobody and nothing in a world. Because that's what the enemy will try and get you to think, that you can't do anything. Who am I? Look at my life. What have I been through? You need to know that we are sons, and that carries authority with it. So we know our calling and our spheres of influence, and then we can begin to operate from that authority to bring heaven to earth. So, responsibility. Governmental rule of the house and charge of the courts. That being that kingly priest function. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, 2-3 says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you know, knowing that you will judge angels? How much more this matters of life? It's like, we're going to judge angels and the world, so we're going to need to judge and make verdicts now so that we can bring everything into God's perfect alignment. At an Ian Clayton conference in August, I was in worship, and Joshua and Joseph came and stood on my right and left, and Enoch stood behind me and Daniel in front of me. And it was like, whoa, this is a really powerful encounter. And Joshua and Joseph held up my hands, and I felt immediately strengthened. And I believe that this Joshua generation will also be the Joseph, Daniel, Enoch generation. It's those four that represent administrative kingdom government, and they want us to operate with their help. So Joshua generation, as I've said, have a different spirit, be forerunners, pioneers beyond the veil, giant slayers, and we'll begin to mentor and be ready for the harvest that's coming. Enoch walked with God in heaven and on earth. And he is a model for our being able to engage heaven. Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So eventually, he walked through the fiery sword and the cherubim, engaged the realms of heaven, and then didn't come back. But he still has a body, and he still is invested into helping us. And if you read the book that's written about him, he prophesied into our day. And you can read about in Jude and other places in the Bible. He's a significant man who is operating for our generation and wants to equip us. So we can read about that. He sort of has given me a number of quests when I've engaged with him over the years. Even recently, a new quest. But the last one before that was to take the mask off the church governmental system and expose the truth. And I think, whenever I get a quest, I'm like, whoa, what's that? No idea. But then when I start to pursue it, God opens it up. So this has been leading up to bringing us into this new order. All of us can walk in the realms of heaven like Enoch. Daniel 12:4. Conceal the words and seal up the book until the end of time. Now, the end of time is not the same as the last days. When you read about the last days in the New Testament, it was talking about the last days of the Old Covenant leading up to AD 70 and the destruction of the temple, as Jesus foretold in Matthew 24. But the end of time is when the end of time is coming, when their time will be wrapped up and we'll go into eternity. So we're coming to that point, and it gives a description of what it will be like. Many will go back and forth. Well, I think that's pretty true. And knowledge will increase. Now, it couldn't be a better time to have the books open, that revelation be released, because it can get instantly transmitted all over the world. And God wants us to engage it. So Daniel now has opened those books. He's unsealed them for our generation. Joseph. And this is a really important one. Genesis 41:14. Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and he changed his clothes, Joseph was prepared for the whole of his life for that moment. It wasn't that it happened suddenly, hurriedly they brought him out, but he was prepared for the whole of his life. He had visions and dreams of authority at the beginning. People didn't like that, particularly his family. He was rejected, abandoned, sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into prison, and forgotten. And yet, God still had a purpose for him. And many of you may feel like that. You may feel your life has been rejection and abandonment, bondage, falsely accused, forgotten. It may be in that way, but actually God can take you out of that prison. He can redeem everything that's happened in your life, and he can bring you into something new and a position of authority. So don't look at your past and let it rob you of your future. Embrace your past and be transformed and learn to overcome it and to then take your position of government as God releases it. Because this is what Joseph prophesied to Pharaoh in verse 34. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge. So Joseph's generation, overseers in charge of the land. Let them exact a fifth of the produce of the land. Fifth of the world population, billion or so people. Then let them gather all the food these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in cities. So there are going to be storehouses that are going to be in cities and under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. This is the language of cities of refuge, of new order things, of storehouses ready for the harvest. This is where it comes from. And then this is what happened. Verse 48, and they gathered all the food these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, placed the food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. So the harvest came from around where they were. When the famine was over all the face of the earth, Joseph opened the storehouses. So the storehouses are going to be open. And the people from all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. So when everything is lacking, where are people going to come? To places that have the answers to the problems and solutions that they're looking for. The mountain of the house of the Lord raised up above all the mountains. So Joseph came out of the prison of obscurity to administrate a nation. And God is calling us to come and do the same. To set up storehouses for the harvest. He had the whole earth, including his brothers and father, who had rejected his authority in the first place, come to receive the food. Many people who are rejecting will come eventually, but they can come now. This is the thing. We have a choice that we can come and embrace this now. I believe we're being called to administrate this new wineskin of God's ecclesia, called to establish embassies of heaven on the earth. God spoke to me a few weeks ago. He said, son, I've opened up a new season of legislative authority. I present to you a new mantle carrying the authority to administrate legislation, to open hearts and minds, to bring people into their heavenly positions. This is a new era where the government of heaven and its judicial authority is released to my sons. Call to the sons of men to come to their eternal positions to establish heavenly government on the earth. The call is to the Joshua generation to prepare for the harvest. God is calling you today. Will you answer the call? Now, I want you to just close your eyes and just listen to God calling your spirit to attention right now. Because this is a message that God wants to release, to call you. Let your spirit resound and resonate with this call. This is God speaking as Father to you as his children. I call your spirit to attention. Spirit, listen as a true son. I call forth your identity as the Joshua generation. I call forth your destiny to manifest my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your destiny to fill the earth with my glory. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as lords to administer my rule on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your identity and destiny and authority as kings to have charge over my heavenly courts. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as sons to stand in my presence and be displayed on the earth. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as my sons to answer the groan of creation and to restore it to original condition and purpose. I call forth the Joshua generation to rise up and take possession of their inheritance. Now let your spirit resound with that call. It's like, answer the call. You have a choice today. One of the 12 chancellor's houses is the mantle room. The alignment of the precepts, statutes, and laws of God opens the ordinances and the mantle houses of heaven. There are legions of angels carrying new mantles, new robes, these cloaks of authority. They are for earthly and heavenly authority, and they're available today. Now, sometimes we go into the realms of heaven and engage there. Sometimes God sends angelic messengers here to come and engage with us, and this is one of those days. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. So we can take that authority, that mantle that he gives us today. Therefore, we can go with it today and carry a new realm of government in our lives. Greater grace is being released to legislate heaven on earth. John 14:12, the earthly aspect of that mantle. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. So you have authority to preach, heal, and deliver. All of you can have a PhD. It's good without even going to university. You can get a PhD to preach, heal, and deliver, and do the works of Jesus, and even greater works. Those things are miracles. Authority over nature, over matter, over sickness, over the demonic realm. Equipping, teaching, proclaiming, declaring, caring, discipling. Carrying wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might to rule. These are the earthly and heavenly expressions, but they've got to be established in heaven first. So Joseph was taken out of the dungeon and out of the wilderness bondage and brought into a position. Restored identity. Yeah, he was shaved and cleaned up. All that prison image was removed. You see, you can't carry a prison image if you want to rule. When he took him out of the prison, he got rid of all the dirty old rags and gave him new clothes. Those clothes were appropriate for the rulership of the nation. God wants to give you that for your own life today. Invested with a new authority and new robes, given authority over the land. Now, what land? Well, you've all got your own land. You all inherit something from God for you to rule over. Those heavenly authority and on earth. So God is calling you to enter and receive that so that we can engage beyond the veil. New mantles for heavenly governmental order. So benches of 3, benches of 7, benches of 12. They are a reflection of heaven's government on the earth, and people here are part of those benches that we have here. And God is calling you to take authority and receive a new mantle to operate in those roles. Heavenly positions of government, priest, king, oracle, legislator, scribe. They are heavenly positions of authority. Magistrate, administrator, chancellor. There are other things, judge, lord, son. They're all heavenly positions. Who knows what God is going to give you today? Yeah. But be open to receive whatever he does and be ready to use that as sons of God, co-heirs of the kingdom. We're all called to participate in legislative protocols of heaven. We have been seated with him in heavenly places. He has raised us up. He's dealt with the transgressions, brought life to us, and has given us a position in the realms of heaven in Christ Jesus. God spoke to me and said this, prophesy a new season, call it forth, declare it from the heights, proclaim it, blowing the trumpet, herald its coming. So we're going to do that today. Open the opening of a new book, new chapters and new pages. A new level of government, new fresh expression of kingdom. Son, release the sound of heaven, blow the trumpet, herald a new season, sound the alarm, muster the troops, let the sound reverberate, resonate and draw people. Proclaim and herald a new day, a new season, new depths, new heights, new doors, new chapters will be opened and become accessible. We're at the dawning of a new day. New laws, releasing new authority. And here I'm just going to finish with sharing these laws that God has given us. I decree in the court of kings the law of fatherhood and sonship. I call forth the spirit that turned the hearts of the children back to the father. I call forth a new dimension in intimacy and relationship in sonship. I call forth the alignment in the spirit with the four faces of God. I call forth a new dimension in the revelation of ministry at that alignment. That was something that we established as a law a couple of years ago. And then this year we've done these, the law of inheritance. And this is God giving you authority, and we can operate with this. From my covenant with Adam, you are my adopted sons. Every blessing is yours. Your inheritance is the kingdom of God and all its fullness. Your inheritance is the right to rule and subdue. On the foundation of the righteousness of God as your inheritance, you are hereby authorized to engage my heart in eternity and fully know who you are as my sons. You are authorized to open the scrolls and reveal the sum of my thoughts for each person who is within your shielded environment. You are authorized to be fully restored and to release the full restoration of all the promises of the new covenant. You are fully authorized to see and be the fullness of your identity as sons of light, with fire in your eyes and a sword in your mouth, radiating transfigured glory. The law of restitution. You are hereby authorized to engage the enemy's trophy room and to plunder of it of men's destinies, the fallen mantles of men, and the generational heritage that has been robbed. You are authorized to demand 7 times recompense for all, for yourselves and all that you're responsible for. You are authorized to equip each person to know their rights to restitution and to know how to get restoration. Where the enemy is stolen from you, he shall be cursed. The law of recognition. It is decreed by the Father that all creation must and shall recognize and acknowledge your position and royalty. You are hereby are authorized to open access to the garden of God and to the true revelation of eternal sonship. You are authorized to unveil the eyes of those who have been blind to their eternal destiny identity. You have the divine authority of the manifold grace of God to reveal the sound, fragrance, and frequency of each person's image. You can operate under those laws because we have been given authority to use them. Heaven is open. The atmosphere has been cleared today. Angels are released on assignment to give you new mantles of authority. Are you ready to receive them? Because they will give you the preparation to take your heavenly position of responsibility beyond the veil. There's a picture of what happened with sort of Elijah going up and with the fiery chariot in the whirlwind, dropping his mantle. God is releasing the angels, and they're trumpeting a sound today. And they're all on their way right now with a whole load of heavenly mantles for us. So I'd encourage you to, we're going to do this just briefly, to engage in that spiritual realm. We're not stepping into heaven. Heaven is around us in the realm of the environment of the angelic realm, and we can engage it. So I want to close your eyes. And just begin to come into that place of peace and rest. Let your spirit just begin to sense the atmosphere of the kingdom around you. Engage the spiritual realm around you. Just open the eyes of your heart. Begin to think about that angelic realm being released out of heaven. Those legions of angels coming from the mantle room of heaven, carrying new mantles of authority for you, bringing to you that which you need to take you to a new level of authority in God's kingdom. Whether it's a mantle for, to be a part of the bench of three, or the seven, or the 12, or the seven mountains, whether it's to be in a heavenly position of chancellorship, or legislator, or oracle, or scribe, whatever it is, maybe it's just the mantle to do miracles and signs and wonders on the earth. Be willing to pick up that mantle that Jesus is releasing out of heaven with those angels. Just begin to sense that angelic realm around you right now. And with the eyes of your heart open, you may picture it, you may sense it, you may feel it, you may just perceive it, or by faith, just choose to engage. Because the angel of the Lord assigned to you today has appeared in front of you right now, standing in front of you with a new mantle, a robe of authority. Just be willing to receive that new mantle. Allow that angel to place it on your shoulders. And with it, receive a new level of power, authority, governmental position. Just receive everything that that angel is authorized to give you. Because from what I'm looking at right now, he's got more than mantles with them. Just engage. Some of you are going to receive Joseph mantles, coat of many colors, carrying the full wisdom of the seven spirits of God. By faith, make that choice today, that decision that you want to cross over, that you want to take that position that this mantle gives you beyond the veil, stepping over that picture of the Jordan, parting as Jesus has gone before us, preparing the way for us to follow. Choose you this day who you will serve. You all have a choice. Maybe you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, to enter into your sonship, that you've not been invested with the right to be a son because you've never believed and asked Jesus to come into your life so that you follow him as a disciple. You can choose to simply surrender your life and ask Jesus to be Lord. All of us can choose to take a step further than we've ever took before. You may not understand it fully, but let your spirit lead you today to cross over into something new.